Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
Let's take a look at this testimony. It's a quick one with Higgins talking about the phone being destroyed when he threw it away at the military base, and just some of his thoughts and reactions to that. We'll talk on the other side.
Oh, with my
and
trash.
Then you also took your phone, now without the SIM card, and you put that in the trash bag too, did you not?
Yes, sir.
Then you drove to a military base and you threw both the destroyed SIM card and the phone into a dumpster, did you not?
Well, I was cutting through the base and I believe how I testified
did you
was-
Did to a military base, sir?
I was cutting through a base, yes.
Did you drive to it?
Yes, sir.
And then you put both the destroyed SIM card and the phone itself, which were in a trash bag, into a dumpster on that military base, did you not?
I believe that's what I did, yes.
And as you were driving away, you knew that that destroyed SIM card and the phone would be gone forever, correct?
Yes, I threw it away.
And before you drove away, you did not transfer anything from your old phone to the new phone, correct?
That's correct.
You lost all of your photos on that phone, did you not?
Whatever photos I had on there, I did, yes.
You lost all your videos on that phone, did you not?
To the extent if I had any.
You lost all of your other text messages besides the ones that you had with Karen Reed and John O'Keefe, correct?
That's correct.
And you knew that you did have text messages on that old phone with Kevin Albert.
He's a friend, most likely.
You also had text messages on your phone with Nicole Albert.
Most likely, yes.
And you had text messages on your phone with Brian Albert?
Yes.
It was important to you that no one see those text exchanges that you had with those three members of the Albert family.
Jackson.
I'll let him have it.
No, sir, that's not true.
You took no steps to preserve those text messages, did you?
That's correct.
You did not ask your friend Matt Kelch, the agent, to help you extract those text messages, did you?
That's correct.
And when you went to that machine, you did not extract them yourself, did you?
He walked me through it. I did do the extraction.
You did not extract the three strands of text messages with Nicole Albert, Kevin Albert, and Brian Albert to preserve from that machine, did you not?
No, I did not extract those.
He's an ATF agent. He knows what's going to look suspicious. So is this just really, really dumb behavior here? And another question, who just throws away their old cell phones? I mean, you usually trade them and you can get a good discount and you can resell them. There's 1,000 things that most people normally do other than just throwing it in the trash. It's another just kind of a weird observation there on that.
Yeah, I mean, he had like his excuse for it was that, you know, he had like a CI that had compromised his number, you know, like that's like a confidential informant,
sure.
Somebody that like he didn't want having his shit. And so he destroyed the phone. That doesn't answer the question why you felt the need to destroy the phone itself. Could have wiped it, gotten a new number
on the same phone
or traded in. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I was buying that. You know, his excuse in terms of why he destroyed the phone was that it doesn't have garbage pickup, which I think can be confirmed. I got that. Yeah, like that was a reasonable explanation. And, you know, he's a former military guy, so he's got access to the base. He cuts through. It's a shortcut. That's where he dumps his shit.
Yeah.
Like that, that's buyable. But yeah, in terms of the destruction of the phone, like if I'm Lally, like I'm telling him, look, man, I'm going to assume that you guys didn't do anything to John O'Keefe in that house. And like, we've already put you on blast with respect to all the shit that you were texting to Karen on that phone. Just own it. Just say it at that moment in time. You know, I didn't want this thing that was going on between Karen and I to become public knowledge for a very, very huge amount of reasons.
Yeah.
You know, like he had other viable excuses as to why he didn't necessarily want to just allow an extraction of his phone, plus whatever else he's going on. Like, I wouldn't want anybody extracting my phone.
Yeah.
Like, I've got all kinds of shit. I don't, like, it's nobody's business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, and he's a cop. Yeah, when he does it the way that he decided to do it, it makes you think that he's hiding something that has to do with this case. That's the problem with it, where I think that there were plenty of ways that he could have handled it on the stand to where it wouldn't have made it seem nefarious. That's the bottom line with me. And I felt the same way about Jen McCabe.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know if anything happened in that house. I tend to think that maybe something didn't. But like something, they're hiding something, and I just don't know what it is.
I mean, it makes you wonder, and it's pure speculation. You know, I mean, are there other affairs or something going on here? I mean, there's so many things, and there's no evidence to show that. But there's things on phones they don't want that could reveal other things. And who's going to be taking a look at the phone? Well, the same people who your friends are that are investigators. I mean, so if there's other bad things going on, bad behavior here amongst these adults, it could be a good reason why you don't want that phone scanned. It has nothing to do with murder.
Exactly.
Or maybe it does. I don't know.
I mean, and for the purposes of the jury, which is all that matters, how's that playing to them? Like, are they reaching that same conclusion when they don't necessarily know as much about the case as we do? You know, I mean, are they able to extrapolate it to that length where we're like, okay, well, you know, there's a bunch of reasons that somebody may want to destroy their shit. Like, is this like a real bedroom community where there's a lot of close friends, a lot of people running behind each other's backs? I don't know how it's playing off to the jury, but it's not a great look.
No,
you know, and Yannetti. And it was odd because recall that Jackson started the cross, and then I think he was starting another trial. People were speculating what had happened, like he was going on vacation. I don't think that's what it was. I think that he had two trials that were scheduled at the same time, and Judge Bev was not inclined to give them any kind of continuance on the matter. And I think that the other judge, like, who knows what the situation could have been. It could have been a speedy trial issue.
Yeah.
Could have been, you know, the guy's been in custody forever and like, we're not kicking this out again. Yeah. Like, who knows, but it was unusual because you rarely ever see one attorney start a cross and another one finish it. So that was unusual. And Yannetti really just focused on that, the phone, you know, like, whereas Jackson started to get into it. And oddly enough, because we're streaming it on our YouTube channel, the whole trial, which is Defense Diaries podcast. And at the end of that day, towards the very, very end, after Judge had shut it down, when Jackson's like, oh, I just need 30 more seconds. You could see Yannetti and Jackson having a little bit of a heated conversation. Like, I felt like Yannetti may have been like, hey, man, I don't think you hit it out of the park like we needed to right there. So like Yannetti came in and I think, you know, like, what did you think? Did you think it do you think it was effective? Like,
no.
What was your impression of Higgins' testimony?
He just seemed like an oaf. I mean, he's more intelligent than what he portrayed. It felt like he was being too dumb. And it felt like the defense of Karen Reed was being over aggressive. Where like each were not quite in sync with where they technically probably should be and where like reality actually lies.
Yeah. And like, I think a lot of that, and I think that's accurate. And I think that the reason that that happened is because in the minds of the defense team, this dude's a major figure.
Yeah.
You know, we know that from Yannetti's argument that he made in terms of the, like, getting the third culprit stuff in like a couple weeks prior to the trial, or maybe the week prior, where he gave a pretty compelling argument as to, you know, Brian Higgins, when you're hearing an unvetted story, you know, and he's talking about him going to a military base and destroying his phone, and he's at the police station and the Sally Port videos, mm-hmm. you know, like off for 40 minutes when the car's in there, you know, it's like you like, that's the thing about unvetted stories.
Yeah.
It can seem very compelling until you start picking it apart, which is the whole pot, you know, like, so I like, he's a central figure.
Yeah.
In there, like, they felt the need to be able to have that guy seem shady. Like, he was very important for their theory of the case to make him come off like he's the bad guy. I don't know that they achieved it at all.
Yeah.
Like, he definitely didn't come off like he was a villain, you know, cause he was like, look, and I like, he is a cop. That guy has testified God knows how many
exactly.
times. He knows what he's doing on the stand, you know, and it's like, he's not going to get up there and get rattled. He was even keeled the whole way through. He was even keeled through those cringy ass text messages, you know, and it's just like, they didn't make the headway with them that they needed to.
No,
in my opinion.
No, I think that it'd be great to see what they bring up next as it all continues.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.